We're going to get started here in just a second. Give you time to get on, to get part of what we're doing. We're going to open up with some worship songs, as always, and open up with prayer. And we hope you're with us. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful week. And it's going to get cold tonight. But we are thankful to be here in this place. We are thankful that the doors are unlocked here tonight for those that want to be here, that are here with us tonight as well. And we're grateful for that. So I want to welcome you that are here, welcome you that are watching us tonight, and just thankful for His presence as always. Let's open up in prayer tonight. Father, as we go into the Word, we are excited about sharing this story of faith, another story of faith, Lord, about You overcoming all things, and we know that You do. We're thankful, God, that we serve a King who is not moved by circumstance, who is not changed by what happened around us, but who is constant, who is faithful, who is steady, who is true through it all. We are thankful, God, that we don't have to fear. As we're going to talk again tonight about fear over faith, faith over fear, excuse me. We're going to talk about that our faith is stronger than the fear that comes against us, that our faith is bigger than the fear that's around us because You're inside of us, God, and we are thankful for that. We pray You bless the worship tonight and bless the Word as we go into Your presence now, and we give You all praise and glory in Jesus' name, and all of you out there said, amen. Y'all worship with me as we're going to open up with a song called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. If you know it from home, sing it with us tonight as we worship the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, and shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. My King forever. as we sing, worthy, 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 I want to serve you. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
By those worship songs. It is definitely time for us to lift up our hands, isn't it, no matter what we're facing, and trust the Lord with all of our situations. I'm so glad that we have our faith to lean on in times like this, and our hope is still in Christ, no matter what we see. And we cannot allow fear to overtake our faith, not if we believe in the God that we preach about and teach about and read about and pray to. He is the God over all things, and I trust Him. We're going to read another story of faith tonight. We're going to be reading in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Most of us have heard this story our whole lives about Daniel, but I think it's important that we recap these stories These were real people with real life events that had real problems and faced real persecution and had to make real decisions in those times of persecution. You know, faith doesn't mean much if there's no pressure against us to stand. Faith doesn't mount a lot if there's nothing going on to push that faith in our lives. But when a crisis comes, when we lose a job, we lose a home, we go through a divorce, we lose someone we love, whatever the issue is, that's when our faith really put to the test. Do I trust God beyond this grief? Do I trust God beyond this test? Do I trust God beyond this crisis? Do I trust God beyond this job loss? Do I trust God beyond anything I face? And Daniel did. Tell you a little bit about Daniel before we get started in chapter 6. You may not know this. Daniel was captured as a little boy from his country of Judea and taken captive to Babylon as a little boy, probably 7 or 8 years old. He was captured and taken to live in Babylon. Now, Babylon is where current Iraq is today. And so here's where Daniel lived. And we pick up this story in Daniel 6. He's in his early 80s now, 82, 83 years old. And so he has spent his whole life away from his home country in a foreign land, in a paganistic land, in a land that worshiped many gods. And throughout his course of life, living in Babylon, with the culture so corrupted around him, he maintained his faith in his God. And he did not let the influence of the country he lived in become his following. He followed God to the very end. And God always blessed Daniel, and God used Daniel as a prophet to the nation. And he was used by the government of Babylon. He had a high position of authority because God was on his side. When we stand up for the Lord, when we honor God, God will take care of us. I know that for a fact. He's protected me, my family, my whole life. He's watched over us, provided our needs, met our needs, and more than our needs throughout our life. And I'm thankful for that. So we pick up here in chapter 6 with Daniel. He would be put to a test in this chapter. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these princes, there will be 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Sounds like the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph, how he was promoted to be second in command over the nation of Egypt. Here we see Daniel promoted to second in command over the nation of Babylon. And of course, when people are promoted and when God's favor is on your life and when you are being blessed, there are people that get jealous and want to do you harm. And here the plot begins against Daniel, the plot to destroy him. Verse 4. The presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were trying to find fault with him, something they could accuse him of, because they wanted him out of this position. But they could find no occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we cannot find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, we understand that religion, Christianity, is always under attack. It is today's world like it was then. It's even under attack in our country sometimes, where people attack our faith, they attack our Savior, they attack the local church, they attack ministers, they attack the gospel, they attack the spiritual part of our lives. And that's always going to be, because we are dealing with the demonic world that's coming against a spiritual kingdom. And so they couldn't find fault against Daniel, so we'll find fault against his God. What can we do to get him in trouble? Verse 6. These presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, King Darius, live forever. Now look at verse 7, what it says. And it's very relevant to what we're going through a little bit right now to a degree. Not the same context, but I thought this was a little bit odd as you read this verse. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains, they've all consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, these lions were man-eating lions. It was part of punishment in this culture. These lions were literally underground in a cave with a top opening to feed the lions in, usually a side opening with a stone rolled in front of it to block the entrance. They could have access in and out of the cave. And these, it was part of punishment to be thrown to the lions' den, to be destroyed and your flesh tore apart. So he's saying, this is what needs to happen, King. If anybody prays to any other god but the ones you say we can pray to, the ones you've established, let them be punished and be cast into the den of lions. So the king says in verse 6, they say in verse 8, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth or changeth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, this king did love Daniel, or he wouldn't have promoted him to be second in command. He loved Daniel. He honored Daniel. He respected Daniel. He had no idea that this would come back to backfire on him. He wasn't thinking about Daniel being in the lion's den. He wasn't thinking about him getting in trouble for anything. He was hearing what his people were saying. That's why I say all the time that we have to be careful that we listen and hear the voice of God in our lives. There's too many other voices talking to us right now. And for those of us that are consuming ourselves right now with the fear-mongering of the media 24/7, I want to encourage you, turn the television off and turn the Bible on and listen to what God has to say. Because what all the news stations are saying is not what God is saying. They are not in control. My Lord's in control. And that's whom I trust. And that's whom I believe. The Lord put on my heart 2-3 weeks ago, even told my mom about this, that I'm not watching the news. You say, Pastor, you've got to be informed. Believe me, I get informed. I see Facebook all the time. I hear people tell me stuff. I get informed. But I'm not going to sit there and surrender myself to fear whenever I have faith in the Lord who takes care of me. If I believe that God is sovereign and all things are under His control, then I've got to believe my life today, tomorrow, next week, next year, no matter what man says, my life is not in jeopardy unless God takes my life. And that's who I trust. So I believe He's got all of me in His hands all the time. Trust the Lord with that. He had no idea it would come back to backfire him, but he listened to all these smart governors and smart counselors and smart senators and smart guards and all these people he surrounded himself with without first seeking the counsel of God. The Bible says the beginning of all wisdom, or seeking the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, right? As we seek the Lord and what he says, that's the beginning of all wisdom. So verse 10, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Now, Daniel knew, church, this was a law. For the next 30 days, this was decreed, and Daniel knew it. But Daniel was a faithful prayer warrior, and Daniel had served God his whole life. Daniel was now in his 80s. He wasn't about to abandon God now. He'd seen God move his whole life. And a signed petition was not going to change how he served the Lord. It was not going to shut down his relationship with God. So he goes on, it says in verse 10, after he knew it was signed, he went into his house, and with his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did before. The decree that was signed didn't change one iota of how he worshiped and praised his God. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't influenced. He wasn't changed. He said, I've always prayed to God. I'm going to pray to God now because this law that you have written violates God's law of what he told me to do. So I'm still going to pray and open my windows toward Jerusalem and do what I've always done, because that's who God is and that's who I am in him. Now, Daniel knew he would get caught. Daniel knew the penalty. I think most of us, if we got a decree that they found you praying on your knees to God, to Jesus Christ, that they would come and arrest you and throw you in the lion's den, I bet a lot of you might still pray, but would you open your windows as a signal and let everybody know you're praying? Or would you crouch down behind the couch and use your inside voice so they don't hear you praying? Not Daniel. I'm honoring God. I'm praying to God. I'm not going to compromise God. He's who I serve. He's who I believe in. And he is well able to deliver me from whatever cause is in front of me. I will not fear what man can do against me. They found Daniel, verse 11, of course. These men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making a supplication before his God. They assembled, and they were weighing in late to catch him, and they did. Then they came near, and they told the king concerning his decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered, this is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which changeth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, don't you love that? They always do the that word. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judea, regardeth not thee. He's not listening, king. He's breaking the law. He is not listening to you, O king, nor the decree you have signed, but he maketh his petition 3 times a day. When the king heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. And he set on his heart to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But he couldn't. He had signed this into law. And according to the Medes Persian way of government, it was unchangeable. Even from him changing it back himself. There was no escape on the king's part to save Daniel. But that wasn't what it was about. These men assembled and said unto the king, know, king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established can be changed. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. The king was so hopeful of Daniel's life being spared. He loved Daniel. He respected Daniel. And he believed in Daniel's faith. Don't necessarily say he believed in his God, but he believed that the God that Daniel served could protect him and save him. And that was his hope. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Here we find a story of faith of where a person, once again, is in an impossible situation. He's in this lion's den. Once again, these are not tamed lions. This is not circus lions. These are man-eating wild beasts that tear flesh up. It was a part of punishment in this culture, in this nation. They would throw people in there to kill them. And now here is Daniel. He openly prayed, knowing the cost. He openly prayed, knowing he'd get caught. He openly prayed and served God, knowing what would happen to his life. But he trusted God more than the decree. He trusted God more than what the king had written down. He trusted God more than the punishment. He trusted God more than the outcome of his life. He trusted God more. So here he finds himself in this lion's den. You think Daniel was probably a little scared? Probably. He was human, right? I'm sure he was nervous. I'm sure he was really, as they were leading that den, thinking, God, I really hope you got me tonight. Lord, I really hope that you got me tonight. Because here it is. I'm facing possible death. But once again, for us who know the Lord, there should be no fear in death. Because we truly don't die. Our flesh falls away. But we, the real us, is never separated from the presence of God. And that I believe and that I trust. So death really has no power over us. And that's why in this culture we're in right now, I hope that, and I don't mean to sound at all cold or callous. I'm not. I'm truly not. I'm being really respectful. We understand that we have a virus and a sickness that is going around our country, and there's no denying that there is that. But the thing that I see even more that's causing more issues than the virus is the fear that's going around. That how that in just a few weeks, we have seen so many people locked away in total fear over this. Church, we are the people of God. We are the children of God. We are the Holy Ghost-filled temples of God. We serve a God who created all the things that we see. And at one blow of His breath, at one command, all things can be different. All things can be changed. At one breath, at one touch, all can be made well and all can be made whole. We must believe that there are angels all about us that are with us, sealing us and going with us and following us everywhere that we go. I have to believe that I really am abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I've really got to believe the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And the greatest sickness I've seen is the fear of Americans of a handshake or a hug. Are you kidding me? We are the redeemed, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled people of the Most High. And it's time that we stand up and recognize and realize again who we are. In a lion's den, He's still God. In a fiery furnace, He's still God. When the giants in front of us, He's still God. When the storm's on the waters, He's still God. Even when a man's dead 4 days, He's still God and able to raise him back up. That's who I trust, and that's who we should trust. And I am not allowing the chaos and the fear of this to cancel out this and who I believe and who I serve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know I'm preaching a little bit on Wednesday night, but I'm telling you, I see Daniel in this situation and I think, my Lord, God, He did not compromise anything of what He believed because something in the law changed. He stood His ground and trusted you and He served you and He worshiped you and He prayed you. And I'm going to tell you something. Daniel didn't do this out of arrogance. He didn't do it out of, well, they made that law, I'll show them. I'm going to open them windows even wider. I'm going to pray even louder. Let them come get me. I do not think at all that was Daniel's heart. I think Daniel had a servant's heart, and he truly was going to continue to serve God in the way he always served God, regardless of what that cost them. We see it with the disciples. They went through preaching, and some of the leaders would say, don't you preach in that name. You can't preach in that name. What are you talking? What other name is there to preach in than the name of Jesus? What other name is there where men can be saved but the name of Jesus? What other way is there of redemption and reconciliation apart from the name of Jesus? There is no other name. They are all false gods that will fall and be destroyed. And the only one that is standing and will stand the test of time is the one who died and rose the third day forevermore. That's who we serve. And that's who Daniel served. He did not get mixed up with the politics of his country in a way that changed his faith. He stayed steadfast. So the king is concerned. Your God's going to keep you. He signed the thing and he's going home for the night. Verse 18. The king went back to his palace. He passed the night with fasting. Neither were there any instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He fasted, he stayed awake, he didn't listen to any music, he was burdened for Daniel, he loved Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in a hurry to the den of lions. And when it came to the garden, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually? Here's the thing. How many of us are serving God continually or we're serving God until? There's a big difference. I'll serve God until a crisis hits. I'll serve God until I don't see Him moving anymore. I'll serve God until something happens in my life. I'll serve God until I can't hear His voice no more. Or do we serve God continually, day in and day out, hour by hour, day by day, season by season? Though hell comes against us, God, I'll still serve you. Though I'm in the deepest valley, God, I'll still serve you. Though darkness surrounds me and fears all around me, God, I press through that darkness and through that fear, and I will continually worship, sing, serve, pray, and follow you, God, because that's who you are. And I am your child, and you are my Father in every single season of my life. So we have to serve God continually. And He says that. The God who you serve continually. All these years, Daniel, you served Him. All these years you've been faithful. Was He able to deliver you from the lions? Can you imagine the pause that the king had for a minute, waiting on to hear that voice back as he's rushing to the lion's den, crying out, Daniel, are you still alive? And waiting to hear the response, either silence or a proclamation. And look what Daniel said in verse 21.
Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God. You at home say that. My God. He is your God. My God. The one that I serve. The one that watches over me. The one that I love. The one that I worship. My God hath set his angel. Has sent his angel. And has shut the lion's mouths. We could use some mouth shutting right now, couldn't we? Man, we could use some mouth shutting right now. Because that's all we're hearing is yappity, yappity, yap, and don't talk back. That's all that we're hearing is the yappity, yap, yap. And that's why it's so important that we hear what God has to say. Church, we have all of these political leaders who are smart. We have these medical people who are smart. We have all these people that God's put in place of authority who are smart. And there's times we listen and we take advice from people. But there's also times that we have to get along with God and say, God, speak to me. I want to hear my God tell me what you want me to hear. Voices can be very confusing when you're hearing multiple voices. This is why for young people and for children and for teens, it's so hard to get through life on the right road sometimes, because even though mom and dad's the right voice most time, hopefully, most time mom and dad's the right voice. If they go to church, they have a teacher or a preacher that hopefully is the right voice. But outside of that, it's all the wrong voices. It's everybody else that hear them. You've got mom and dad telling you this, and a preacher maybe telling you that, but you got all your friends and all your coworkers and everybody else telling you this. And we've got to be very careful that we don't let the mouths of ignorance and the mouths of fear and the mouths of iniquity and the mouths of evil and the mouths of darkness become the voices that we hear. We need to hear from God. Now, I don't know what happened that night in the lion's den. There was nobody there to film this. There's no YouTube moment to capture right now for the lion's den. There's nothing on social media we can go back to and see what happened during those hours of the night. But I can imagine that Daniel rested that night. And I can imagine the lions caused him no problems. And I can imagine they might have looked at him and just lay down and just kept their place all night long. I don't think Daniel was bit. I don't think he was chased. I don't think he was ever threatened. I don't think there was a moment one lion rose up against him, because God shut their mouths. The lions, you talk about a lion tamer. God is the greatest lion tamer of all. And he shut their mouths from eating and destroying Daniel's life because of his faithfulness in serving his God. He says, my God has sent an angel, his angel, and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, I have done no hurt. Then the king exceedingly was glad for him, commanded they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. And I highlighted these last 6-7 words here in my Bible, because he believed in his God. There was no hurt because he believed in his God. For those of you that are fearing what's happening right now, those of you that are so afraid, and for those of you that are actually counting off 6 feet when you're staying in a store, I mean, you're actually counting it off. I just want to tell you, if you believe in your God, there is nothing to fear. Because either way, whatever happens in your life, you're going to be with the Lord. You're his children. You're his child. Either way. So I trust God that he's got angels shutting the mouths of those around me from the poison, the sickness, the disease, the fear, all the stuff that's happening around us. God's able to shut that down out of my life, that I don't partake or receive or pick up or walk in that kind of way. I'm going to stay how God called me to stay, and that is believing in my God. Hallelujah. And I love that part. I highlighted that part in my Bible. There was no hurt found because he believed in his God. And the king commanded. Now, I'll say this too. Think about them other guys, what they must have thought when he come out of the den. What? I mean, imagine their faces, right? It should have been an instant death. I mean, these lions should have tore him up instantly. And he comes out of this, and all the people that accused him is like,
oh my goodness, what happened? He's still alive? You know they knew they were in trouble and something was bad going to happen. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, and their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Think about this. This reminds me of the story of Pharaoh when he's chasing the children of Israel across the Red Sea. The Red Sea, which was the enemy for both sides, became the deliverer for God's people. But that same delivering power of the Red Sea became the very cause of death for his enemies. God used that Red Sea to bring his people across, but he used that same Red Sea to destroy their enemies. Here, God used the lion's den, which was the enemy for Daniel, which should have been the cause of his death. He tamed those lions. And, you know, I made jokes about this before. I don't know if he was petting those lions, you know, if he's rubbing their mane, if he's sleeping on them like a pillow, you know, head on one lion, feet up on the other. Who knows what he was doing? I just know the Bible says there was no harm to him and he was not hurt. And all night long, they were at God's command of silence. He silenced their roar. He silenced it. But then the very minute the enemies were thrown down there, the Bible says that they were eaten and consumed before they even got down to the bottom of the den. You talking about God honoring his child. He honors us. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. Here's another decree, but it's a different decree. That in every dominion in my kingdom, that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. Man, that's powerful. Even the king is saying this, right? He's saying the God of Daniel, his kingdom has no end. It is steadfast. It is steady, and there's no end to it. It goes on and on forever. This kingdom can't be destroyed. We know the earth can change. We see it every day. We've seen in our country in less than a month how much our country can change by the power and control of other people. But the Word of God does not change. And no matter what decree is made or how intense it gets from here on out, I know this. I belong to this kingdom. I belong to this Lord. He is my Savior. He is my King. He is my leader. He'll supply my needs. I'm His child. He's my Father. And that's all I need to know. I'm not part of this kingdom. And even in this broken kingdom called earth, in this broken kingdom called flesh, the kingdom of God can come with force and fill all of us with what we need in spite of what this kingdom doesn't have. God can give it to us from His kingdom. In our poverty, God can make us rich. In our uncertainty, God gives us peace. In our sorrow, God gives us joy. In our fear, God gives us faith. That's because these things come from His kingdom. And there is no decree, and there is no ordinance, and there is no law that can shut down or alter or change the kingdom of God. You talking about a law called the Medes and the Persians not being changed. The kingdom of God's the law that can't be changed. That's the decree. When Jesus gave up the ghost and rose the third day, forevermore the kingdom of God reigns and rules above every kingdom, above everything. It's a name above all names. That is our Lord. That is our God. And even this king recognizes that this God of Daniel is different than any other God he's ever known. Because He made a way where there was no way. I know there is fear out there. I know there is uncertainty out there. I know people have lost their jobs, and there's we don't know what's going to happen. And you know, we all have our personal opinions about what is happening now. And I've got mine, which I absolutely will not share tonight. But we have our personal opinions about what's happening right now. And I just want to assure you to turn your eyes to Jesus. And keep your eyes upon Him. The Bible says, David said in one place, you know, where does my help come from? It cometh from the Lord. And that's where our help comes from. I have seen God provide in my life, all of my life.
I've seen God provide for this ministry in the last month in a supernatural way. I've seen God meet the needs. I've seen God show up. I've seen God's people show up. I've seen God's love show up. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And God's kingdom cannot end. And no matter what happens in this world, in this earth, the coming months, years, whatever it is, there's all kinds of sayings that the world is trying to get us to indoctrinate to, called social distancing, called the new normal, these things that I will not be a part of, because God did not call us to social distance, church. God called us to love one another. Now, Pastor, you can love from a distance. I like loving close up a lot better. And I think most of us do, too. And, you know, if you're married, you know, you like loving, hopefully you like loving close distance, close up, not from a distance. And so we got to be careful that we're not allowing things to change our spiritual aspect of recognizing and realizing who God made us to be. And God made us to love each other. God made us to communicate with each other. God made us to fellowship with each other. And I've got an incredible message I'm so excited about. Not Sunday. I just can't wait to share what God's put on my heart for Sunday's message. He gave it to me last week, actually, and I've been hanging on to it, of the message for Sunday morning. So you don't want to miss that at 10 o'clock. God gave me a really message about where we're at right now and the importance of our faith and different things. But you don't want to miss that. But here is his enemies have been destroyed. All right. Then it goes on to the last two verses here. He delivereth and he rescueth. Isn't that wonderful? We know that. God delivers and he rescues. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Notice this king did not give credit to anybody but the true source of who it belonged to God. We have leaders in our country today who are taking credit for things they have no control over, not really, because we have to recognize God's control of all things. God's control. We do our part, yes. We use wisdom, yes. We have knowledge that we apply, yes. But it comes down to God being over our lives. For those of you that say things like, I've never been in a wreck because I'm a great driver. Be very, very careful about things like that. You might be a good driver, but it's not your driving ability that's kept you safe. It is the hand of God, his angels that have watched over you. It's not your guns and your combination locks and your chains, fences that keep you protected from your home, even though some of y'all have those things and some of those things may be necessary. But it's not those things that keep you safe. It is the Lord that guides and guards your home. It's the Lord that watched your children when they used to ride a school bus. And they will again one day, I think. I don't know if it'll be this year or not, but they will by next year. They'll be riding a school bus. And it is God who watches over them. It is God who keeps you asleep at night. It is God who protects you everywhere that you go. It's God who has his hand upon you. And this king gave credit to the right place. It is the God of Daniel that rescued him. It's the God of Daniel that watched over him. He didn't blame his staff. He didn't blame anybody in his legion. He didn't blame why he wasn't destroyed. He didn't get mad about it. He gave credit to where credit belonged, and that was to the God of Daniel. And then in verse 28, Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So his enemies were destroyed. Daniel still prospered. Daniel was still in position. Daniel still had great authority. And now a decree had been made to recognize and honor the God of Daniel. God had a purpose in this. God had a purpose in this whole story. God had a purpose in the hearts of his enemies to even put that decree in place, that God's glory may show up. This is a time, this is a season where we need to let the glory of God shine like never before. We are the children of God. We must believe. We read these stories and we read these lessons, but then sometimes when things hit us, we retreat like everyone else. This is not a time to retreat. It's a time to stand still. When we have done all, stand with the armor of God, trusting that no dart can hurt you and that no plague will come nigh your dwelling, and just stand and trust him through this season that you are in. A story of faith, a man who still prayed knowing he could have been destroyed for his faith with a gruesome death. I mean, I don't want you to think about that. That's not a pleasant way to, I guess there's no pleasant way to die necessarily, but to think about being thrown with a bunch of manning lions and your flesh being tore apart, That's not fun to think about.
And Daniel knew the decree was signed, but yet he still followed God's plan. Whatever happens the coming month, coming months of our country, whatever happens, the people of faith, please stand and trust the Lord through this. And don't let anything cause you to compromise or look to another for your help and for your hope. Do you know who really is over the government? It's not our president. It's God. That's who's over our government. You know who's over your job and your income? It's not your employer. It's God. Who's over your body and your physical state? It's not your physician or your medical team. It's God. Who's over protecting your home and children? It's not, what's that, CTI? CPI. It's not CPI watching your home. It's JC. I watching your home. That's who it is. And so when we start referring everything back to God, and the world don't like this because they want to take credit for their achievements, but there would be no achievements if it weren't for God making them and creating them and giving them abilities and skills and talents and a brain. It all comes back to God. And so let's stay focused these next few months as we're going through transitional times. And it's easy to get frustrated. I've been frustrated. Easy to get angry. I've been angry. Easy to get upset because our world is so different than it was a month ago. But the Word of God is not different. And the people of God and the church of God and the kingdom of God is going to keep going forward through this crisis. And the people of God are going to see God's glory in a different way than ever before. Because we're going to look back and say, God, you brought us through this. God, you kept me from this. God, you healed me from this. God, you watched me through this. God, you made sure there was bread on my table when there shouldn't have been bread there at all. You made sure, God, my bills were paid when I don't know how I'm going to pay them. You made sure of that because I trust my Lord more than any stimulus check, no matter the amount I would ever get. I trust my God. Because Philippians 4:16 does not say that my government shall supply all of my needs. It says, my God. If you don't believe me, look it up. Philippians 4:19 at home. Look it up now. My God, Paul said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. So trust him through this. A story of faith, Daniel being rescued, Daniel being delivered because he believed in his God that he was able to deliver him. And he prayed in spite of the outcome. He believed in spite of the outcome and did not compromise. So anyway, I hope y'all have enjoyed the message tonight and gained something from it. Be encouraged and be a Daniel. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the cost, stand for the Lord and trust him through this. And do not allow yourselves to be afraid. Fear is tormenting. And the Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear. Well, that perfect love is Jesus Christ. And when you have the Lord, fear can't stay in the same place. Don't be afraid. Our church sign still says that. Do not be afraid. I'm still God. Do not be afraid. I'm still God. I want you to tune in Sunday morning at 10 because I've got a message God's put on my heart. Been stirring it for a week and a half now, and I really want to share it. And I'm excited about that. So with that, let's close out in prayer tonight. Father, for all those that are watching with us tonight that are not here, I pray for a peace that passeth all understanding. God, for those that are battling and they're just so nervous right now, they don't know what's going to happen and what to do, God, let them turn to you realizing you are going to provide for them and you're going to take care of them. God, I applied oil upon these all these doors the first week this began to come out. I applied oil in our church doors. I prayed over my family and I prayed over the Living Word family. And God, I believe that. I'm still holding on to that. That this church and your people of this church and my family and the church family here, that you're going to watch and guard and keep throughout this crisis. That no plague will come nigh their dwelling, but that they will see the glory of a beautiful, wonderful God in their lives during this time. I pray for that fear to be cast out. I pray for joy right now to replace that fear, that God, they will look to you and realize you are in control. And we thank you for that, God. There's nobody else I would want to run my life other than you. And I'm thankful you're the head of my life, the head of my home, the head of this church, the head of all that I do. You are in charge, and I give you praise and honor and glory for it. Bless your people and keep them this week as they go wherever they need to go, God, and watch over them and prosper their steps. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Good night to you. Have a wonderful night's rest, and we will see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock.